Good to have some men in the Lord's house this morning. Again, rejoicing in this day that Brother Denny is coming forth, professing Christ Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and submitting himself to the ordinance of baptism, following the commands of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are blessed and privileged to be a part of that. It's a great testimony, as I said earlier, something that every believer ought to always look forward to and embrace, something you can look back to. The Bible is always telling us as believers we're always looking forward, but there's times in our lives that we can look back. Perhaps we can remember the time of our conversion, and then certainly we should remember when we have a real baptism. And I've been baptized three times, and use the word loosely that I got wet three times, but I finally got baptized after I came to saving faith in Christ. Before, I just made a profession, but it wasn't real. It had no follow-up, had nothing changed in my life. And so I just got wet those times. But when I finally come to the realization that Christ is my Lord and He commands me to be baptized, I wanted to be obedient to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in that, I had a true baptism. Brother Denny has had several situations like that or circumstances. I want to do something unusual this morning. This is not a hymn. This is and I don't know if Rascal Flatts is considered a country or what he's considered, but I like this song. And it's very important that we listen to the words. I think it explains a lot of Brother Denny's life and perhaps some of your lives as you listen to the words. When the Sand Runs Out is the name of it. And if you will, listen closely to the words. I'll reemphasize some of them as I go along in my message this morning. But I want you to get the setting. He's going and visiting a friend of his that has died, and it gives him pause to consider his life. And he speaks about that the rest of the time in this song. So listen carefully. I spent the morning at an old friend's grave. Flowers and amazing grace, he was a good man. He spent his whole life spinning his wheels, never knowing how the real thing feels. He never took a chance or took the time to dance. And I stood there thinking as I said goodbye, today is the first day of the rest of my life. And the chorus is, I'm going to stop looking back and start moving on and learn how to face my fears, love with all of my heart, make my mark. I want to leave something here. Go out on the ledge without any net. That's what I'm going to be about. Yeah, I want to be running when the sand runs out. Because people do it every day, promise themselves they're going to change. I've been there. But I'm changing from the inside out. That was then and this is now. I'm a new man. Yeah, I'm a brand new man. And when they carve my stone, they'll write these words, here lies a man who lived life for all that it's worth. I'm going to stop looking back and start moving on and learn how to face my fears, love with all my heart, make my mark. I want to leave something here. Go out on a ledge without any net. That's what I'm going to be about. Yeah, I want to be running when the sand runs out. The cold wind blows across the graveyard, and I think I hear the voice of my old friend whisper in my ear, I'm going to stop looking back, start moving on, and learn how to face my fears. Love with all my heart, make my mark, I want to leave something here. Go out on a ledge without any net, that's what I'm going to be about. Yeah, I want to be running when the sand runs out. Yes, I want to be running when the sand runs out. Yes, I do, is the way it ends. So it's a song about a man's life as he looks at it. And if I would spiritualize that, we'll get to that in just a minute. But going back to Brother Denny, Brother Denny has finally been blessed of God to realize his new life in Christ as his Lord and Savior. After struggling to have the assurance of his salvation, perhaps many of you, I have from time to time and still do from time to time, struggle with assurance of my salvation. Many times we are saved, perhaps, and the devil comes in and steals away that joy sometimes, and we're left wondering, are we really saved? We begin to examine our lives, which is always a good thing. We're told in the Word of God that we should examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith or not, to see if what we have is very real, because that's the most important thing that you can do in your lifetime, is to make sure that you have true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The way we have assurance of that is by the Word of God and how it describes what a true believer is. So Brother Denny has finally come to that place, and he understands that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior. He has the assurance of his salvation made possible by repenting of his sins and placing his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said before, I've been baptized many times. Brother Denny has been wet a few times himself. And in that struggle, still not having the assurance that Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior, but has now come to the blessed realization that Jesus Christ indeed is his Savior, and that his home's in heaven. He now understands that he's a sojourner in a strange country, as all of us as believers are, but he has the assurance that heaven is his home, not because of anything that Brother Denny's done. And salvation is by works, I would say that. And I know that's strange to some of you to hear that, but not my works, not your works, but the work that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. As he came from heaven, he did the will of the Father perfectly, came to offer himself and to God as he became that sin sacrifice, took our sins upon him. The most marvelous thing about our salvation is Christ Jesus took our place and we took his place. He exchanged. And when God looks at us, he sees his Son, Jesus Christ, and his imputed righteousness. And anything that I do, it'd be good works, come from Jesus Christ, my Lord. And that's what gives him glory. Anything apart from that, we might claim to be good works and not good works because it's done through sinful techniques. But when we're saved, we certainly work. And we work because our faith saves, and that's the evidence that we surely have been born again. Brother Denny is in his middle 70s. He's a man, so I know he doesn't mind us telling you how old he is. Now, men don't mind that so much. I don't know about you women folk. But Brother Denny is in his middle 70s. His dear sweet wife, Sister Paul, gone on to be with the Lord. We loved her, and I know Brother Denny loved her so much. But God has used all those circumstances to bring Denny to the place of resting in the promises of Christ. And God is a God of circumstances. He draws us and uses all kinds of things. I know in my life when I was out there with righteous living, doing what I wanted to do, everything began to fall apart, and God used those things to show me that I wasn't the God of my own world, that Jesus Christ was to be the God of my world. And so he brought me to himself through those circumstances, and we thank God that he does that. We thank God that he doesn't leave us to our own devices, but he loves us so much. By his grace and by the means that he uses to bring us to himself, he does that very thing. We go back to that song, and the title of it is When the Sand Runs Out, and certainly you know what it's speaking about, when life runs out. Now, when our lives finally end, every one of you today are going to die. That's not news. That's new to you. No one likes to think about death. For the believer, death's not such a big thing. We think of the way we're going to die is probably what we concern ourselves most of, but we don't concern ourselves about death. Because death has been swallowed up in victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so death is taken out of the way. And when we die, when we pass from this life, we go into the presence of God all because of what Christ did. All because he saved us by his grace. And that's what this song is speaking about. When I look at it and He's talking about the old man's, old friend's grave. Flowers and Amazing Grace said he was a good man, but it seemed like that's all he was a good man, not a saved man. And so this brought sorrow to this man's heart, and it gave him pause to think. You know, in life, God gives us occasions to pause and think, not just lightheartedly or passing, but deep, deep thoughts. It's where we are in our lives. Where am I in relationship? What's this life all about? And to me, this is what this song is implicating. And so he comes to the place, he says, today is the first day of the rest of my life. And as we look at that, we see there's a change in this man. He's considered and looked at that grave and thought about this man's life not being lived to its fullness. And I'll tell you today, and it goes for me and every one of you, you don't live life to the fullness unless it's a life in Christ. Amen. Unless we're living for the glory of God, our life is vanity and everything else is nothing. And in fact, is nothing but a condemnation to us that this journey is in if we don't come to saving faith in Christ. And so the chorus says, I'm going to stop looking back and start moving on and learn how to face my fears, love with all of my heart, make my mark. I want to leave something here that's very important. Go out on a ledge without any net. We'll take that line out. We have, quote, a net, his greater net. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we don't go out on a ledge, but what he's saying to me, he's exercising faith. And he's placing in his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says, that's what I'm going to be about. I'm going to be about. Yeah, I want to be running when the sand runs out. In other words, I want to be serving the Lord of glory when my life runs out. Brethren, that's the believer's hope. That's what happens to a believer when God borns us of the Spirit of God. When he changes us, we become a new creature. Old things have passed away. My old life, the things that I used to love, that I used to do, that brought me great joy as a sinner, have now passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and I walk now in the newness of life. And brethren, if we say we're saved and we're not walking in the newness of life, I want to tell you today by the authority of the Word of God, you're not saved. The grace of God changes our lives. Amen. We become children of God. We were children of the devil, but because of the grace of God, when we come to saving faith, repenting of our sins, we now become children of God. That means something. That's not just a title that someone can say, oh, you're a believer, so you're a child of God. That's not just something we flippantly throw out there, but it means something. It has substance to it. And that's what I see when I hear this song. And he goes to another portion. He says, because people do it every day, promise themselves they're going to change. I've been there. I can identify with that. I think you can identify with that. I've been there. But he said, I'm changing from the inside out. The reason he's able to change from the inside out is because the grace of God has arrested his heart. And he's now become a new creature, because listen to what he says. That was then, this is now. I'm a new man, yes. I'm a brand new man. That's what the grace of God has done in my life. That's what the grace of God has done in Brother Denny's life. And in each of our lives that we, as true believers, are. And listen to what he says he wants to leave on his gravestone, on his headstone. And when they carve my stone, they'll write these words, here lies a man who lived life for all that he's worth. We're not worth anything before the grace of God arrests our hearts. We're sinners. We're nothing and less than nothing. Our righteousness, the Bible says, are as filthy rags before God. The very best that we can do apart from God's grace is filthy rags. And brethren, that don't cut it. God demands holiness. That's what our problem is, you know. God's holy, and you're not. And so something needs to happen to make me holy, because I cannot enter into God's presence unless I'm made holy. And so who makes me holy? The Lord Jesus Christ. It's Him and Him alone. It always points back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's what He means by His worth. His worth is what it is in Jesus Christ, and that's magnified or manifest in the way that He lives His life, because He desires and strives to live His life for the glory of God. I want to do all that I can that would bring glory and honor to the God that has loved me so much, not to leave me in my sins, but to save me from my sins and set my feet upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And then it says, the cold wind blows across the graveyard, and I think I hear the voice of my old friend whisper in my ear. Brother Denny can testify to that. I can. Every one of you that are believers, of the many people that shared the gospel with you. How many people told you that we need to be saved, that you're a sinner, and laid out the plan of salvation, saying that you're a sinner, and that the only way that you can be saved is put your faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been told that before I was saved so many times. And yet, it was a point in time, many years later, before that became a reality to me. But everything that everyone had ever said to me, I began to remember all those verses of Scripture. I began to remember all the faithfulness of those who loved me so much that they didn't want to see me go to hell, but they wanted to see me come to saving faith and serve the God of glory. Loved me enough that whether I spurned that or treated them harshly, it didn't matter to them. They still were unabashedly unafraid to share the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because they understood the power of the Word, right? It's not your presentation. It's not you've got to get it just right. This is just right. Just tell them what this says. Amen. Tell them what this says. And watch the change in their lives. But don't tarry. Don't tarry. And so we see Him, and that's what I see by that. And He said, I'm going to stop looking back, start moving on, learn how to face my fears, love with all my heart, make my mark. I want to leave something here, go out on the ledge without any net. That's what I'm going to be about. Yeah, I want to be running when the sand runs out. So, as we see that, and as I've already said, we know that salvation is by the grace of God. We know it's not by works. The only work is the work that Christ did that accomplished salvation. And so we can't earn our way to heaven. And so we know salvation is not by work, but it's by the sovereign grace of God. And so if that's the case, and Brother Denny believes that, surely, and because we talked about it many times, he always understood that. So if that's the case, why get baptized? If baptism hasn't got anything to do with your salvation, why get baptized at all? Why bother? If it's just a work, because that is a work, it's something we subject ourselves to, it's something that we do. So why do we do that? But again, listen to what the course says. I want to make my mark. I want to leave something here. Yes, I want to be running when the sand runs out. Brother Denny realized that he needs to be obedient to the Word of God. He needed to be obedient to the commands of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, tells us to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, he not only wants to be baptized because he has the desire to do it, but he does that because Christ, his Lord and Savior, commands him to do it. And the Bible says that Christ's commandments are not grievous. They're a joyful thing. When we submit ourselves to the Word of God and to the commands of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we have a new nature, we begin to understand what those commands are. It's not just a list of do's and don'ts. That's what people that are not saved, oh, I'm not going to subject myself to do's and don'ts. We don't look at that anymore. My want to has been fixed. I want to save my Lord. I want to serve my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you will, turn to Romans in the 6th chapter. And it speaks about a spiritual baptism, but we always go to this passage of Scripture as we speak about what spiritual baptism is. It also shows us the picture of what Brother Denny is about to do, and that's a water baptism, displaying what happens when we've been truly baptized into Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans in the 6th chapter. What shall we say then in the first verse? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? He had already said earlier that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And so his argument would be for those who would say, oh, the more I sin, the more grace abounds. He said, no, you've got the wrong idea about that at all. When our hearts are arrested by grace, I'm going to tell you what I want to do. I don't want to sin more. I want to sin less. Amen. I want to serve the Lord of glory who loved me with such a compassion that changed me from the inside out. And I don't want to go back to that old life. Thank God he's put a door there that cannot be entered. But we talk about grace, and there was a time when I'm not going to go into all that, but the rope of grace was kind of slippery and more like grease. But I'm going to tell you, God in his rope of grace has a knot in it. He'll let you go so far if you're his, and that's it. And he chastens those he loves because he wants to work in them the peaceable fruits of righteousness. God is going to get his glory. And whatever it takes for us to bow our knees, that's what he'll do for us. Because he loves us with everlasting love. And so we look at that, and so Paul is saying, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means, God forbid, may it never be so. Some of the strongest language in the Bible is found right here in Romans in that second verse. God forbid that we think that way, that if we've been saved by his grace, we can sin all we want to. God forbid that you even think that way, much less know that you can be that way, because the Bible doesn't know a person like that, that's saved. And what does he say? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness in him. Listen to what MacArthur says about this spiritual baptism. This does not refer to water baptism. Paul is actually using the word baptized in a metaphorical sense, as we might in saying someone was immersed in his work or underwent his baptism of fire when experiencing some trouble. All Christians have, by placing saving faith in Christ, been spiritually immersed into the person of Christ, that is, united and identified with him. When we're saved, when we're immersed into Christ, when we're baptized into Christ, we have then union with him that can never be broken. And because of that union, what's birthed out of that union is communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can't get enough of him. Amen. I've heard some people say, you know what, I don't study my Bible like I used to. I've learned all I need to know about God. It scares me to death when I hear something like that. Because you can't know all there is to know about God. I want to know all about him as much as I possibly can. And brother, we got a book that's full of mystery still to me that I can search and search and search until the day I die. Why am I like that? Because God designed me that way when he saved me to seek after him, to know him in an intimate way. And the more we know of Scripture, the more intimacy we have with him. Because of that union, because of that immersion we have with Christ, we now have communion with the God of glory. Holy God. Holy God. That one time we had no access to, but now through Christ we have perfect access. In fact, we can come into his presence anytime with a boldness not our boldness, but the boldness of Jesus Christ, and ask Him anything we desire. God has now become our loving Father, not our enemy. Because when you're a sinner, He's enemy, and His wrath abides upon you, and every day that you come to saving faith in Christ, you're reaping and heaping raft upon raft. More and more that you'll pay for throughout all eternity. You know, there's only two ways to pay for your sins. You're either going to pay for them, or Christ is going to pay for them. I beg you to come to Christ.
Amen.
That He might pay for your sins. And so when we see this and we talk about that immersion, that spiritual baptism, He doesn't just stop there. And I didn't mean to dwell as much on this as I am, but the Lord's leading me that way. Listen to the results of that. It's not just, boy, I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm saved. And now what do I do? What do I do? I just go on and do like I used to do? No. No, you don't feel that way when you're saved. You don't act that way when you say no. You desire to get into the Word of God and know about this God that loved you so much that He saved you from an eternal hell that you justly deserved. We have a generation of people who think that they're deserving of everything, that they're privileged. We ought to have everything on a platter. But let me tell you, the only thing that any of us deserve is hell itself. Hell itself. But thank God, God sent His only begotten Son to die for us, that we might believe on Him and be saved. Listen to what happens when we're immersed, when we're saved in Christ. Just a few scriptures. Listen to the next one. Do you not know that all of us, that is every true believer who has been baptized, who have been put into Christ, were baptized into His death? We died with Him. But what happened with Christ? Did He stay in the grave? No. He came out of the grave, and so we have resurrection power. We're raised with Him, what? In a newness of life. There's a dead life that we had, but now we have a new life in Christ if we've truly been baptized or saved through Him. Paul goes on to say, we too might walk in what? Newness of life. If I've been saved, I walk in newness of life. What else does he say? Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with Him. We'll become Christ-like in our actions and what we do. And he goes on to say, but the life he lives to what? To God, to give God the glory. And he also goes down and says, do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. We live for the glory of God.
Amen.
We want to be around other believers that believe the same way. We want to be in the body of Christ. That's what He's actually done. Christ is the head of the church. We're the body. Because we've been saved, we've been now made aware that we've been placed in the body of Christ. And the body has different individual looks, but there's an invisible body that's all true believers, but then there's a visible body that's called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name on this one's Berean Baptist Church. But it's the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have different names, but it means the same. What does he say now? Baptism was instituted by Christ, and it's to be ministered in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Where do we get that from? Well, listen to Matthew 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself told us how we're to administer baptism, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What is your directive? What is your, what are you to do as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Here it is. You're to go and teach others. You're to go spread the gospel. You're to tell others that Christ can be found. Tell them the gospel. Tell them that they're in danger of hellfire, that Christ indeed is Lord of death, to come to Him. They'll escape that as they come savingly to Him. What do they do when we're saved? They'll do what Brother Denny is going to do here in just a little bit. We baptize them. We baptize them in water, which is a beautiful picture of what happens to us spiritually. We now show you a picture of that in a water baptism. We go down into the grave and we raise up in the newness of life. And it doesn't stop there. It also says after they're baptized, you teach them. Where's the best place to teach them? In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what you can do by yourself. You can study the Word of God. You can meditate upon the Word of God. You can read it. You can get familiar with it. You can do all kinds of things with it. You can have Bible studies, which are wonderful. All these things are wonderful, and they have their place, and they're needful. But I'm going to tell you one place you can't get anything but the place that's there, and that's in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When a God-called man is preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's the only place you can get the gospel preached. Well, thank God we can turn a TV on when we can't get to the church. Thank God for that. There's much to be said about the fellowship of the saints. Much to be said about the fellowship of the saints. We believe in complete immersion. I wasn't partially immersed into Christ. When I was baptized into Him, I was fully baptized into Jesus. I've got all of Him. I don't have just some of Him. I've got all of Him. And that's what we typify when we put somebody under the water and bring them up out of the water. Brother Lamar read that, and I asked him to read this morning because of the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, here's much water, because Philip had explained to him all about salvation and about obedience to his God. And the first thing he wanted to do was be baptized. He said, here's much water, the King James says. E.V. left that out. Here's much water. And you know what it says? They both went down into the water and they come up out of the water. If he could have just sprinkled him, he could have got down a little cup there and sprinkled him and be done with the business. But he goes into great detail, it seems to me, because the picture is so clear. I'm fully immersed in Christ. And I fully live for the glory of God because of that. So we have a wonderful picture of that. Every Christian's duty to be baptized and join the church. It's not an empty ritual, but a sacrament commanded by our Lord. Listen to what Jesus said. If you don't hear my words, listen to what Jesus says. If you love me, let me tell you what the Greek word there on if means. Since you love me, he's speaking about believers. Since you love me, you will keep my commandments. Since you love me, you will keep my commandments. Paul, when he's speaking to the elders at Ephesus Church, listen to what he says about the importance of the church. Pay careful attention to yourselves. He's instructing the elders to instruct the church. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which Christ obtained with what? His own blood. Christ died for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:25 gives us a command to our husband, but that's not the main thing that he's wanting us to get to the point here. He's talking about the love that Christ has for the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And what did he do? And gave himself up for her. Christ died for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ loved his people this much, how can true believers not be a member of the visible church? How can they not? Brother Denny has come to understand the importance of that baptism. Being obedient to his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and having a good conscience towards his God. Peter said baptism is the answer of a good conscience towards God. Our consciences has even been changed because of the blood. I go back to that song again and listen to what he says. I want to make my mark. I want to leave something here. You know what that is? That's his testimony. Brother Denny is going to give you a testimony in a minute of how much he loves his God. He loves him enough to be submissive to his will and to be buried in this water and raised up in obedience to the commands of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it also says, yeah, I want to be running when the sand runs out. Brother Denny wants to live for the glory of God till the day he dies.
Amen.
When he dies, he wants to go see his Jesus. He wants to go see his God. He wants to see his loving wife. He wants to see all the family of God. What a great reunion that'll be, won't it?
Amen.
And so we're blessed now to understand what Peter said on the day of Pentecost when he talked about them crucifying Jesus Christ. They were pricked or cut to their hearts. They said, Peter, what must we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you to consider these things. God bless you to understand the weight of it, because the weight of it is eternal glory. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that we're able to be a part of this great celebration, that one of our brothers has come home. Now he's submitting himself to your will, Father, to be obedient to the waters of baptism, signifying what's happened in his heart, in his mind, in his life, that he's been saved by your wondrous grace, by the blood of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless him, Father, to live to the glory of God. We've been preserved to persevere. That is, we find ourselves serving you willingly all the days of our lives, because of the great grace that's arrested our hearts. Bless us now, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.